Good morning, and welcome to According to the Scriptures. My name is Kyle Webb, and I serve as the minister for the Mars Hill Church of Christ that meets in Christiana, Tennessee. And I'm happy that you have joined our program for today. I will remind you that if you would like to contact us, you may go to our website at www.marshillcoc.org. Again, marshillcoc.org. And we have a great deal of information about our congregation, about the program. But on the homepage, at the very bottom, you'll find our contact information. You can contact us by mail. Our address is 1135 Rucker Road in Christiana, Tennessee. And you can also contact us by phone at 615-203-3637. And there's also a way that you can contact us by email by going to, there's a link at the bottom of that page to send us a message. And if you would send us a message, then we would be glad to respond to you, and we would love to hear from you. And so we certainly encourage you to take advantage of that. Our lesson, we are continuing a series of lessons that we have done on the Church of the Bible, the one true church that we read about in Scripture. And our endeavor in this study is to familiarize ourselves with what the Scriptures say about the church and what exactly is required for us to be the church of the Bible. And I think we first have to come to the realization that it is possible to be a church according to the world, but not be the church of the Bible. It is possible for us to be involved with a church that is not doing, that is not preaching according to the Scriptures. And so we need to be aware of what the Scriptures say so that we can make sure that the church that we are members of is the church that we read about in Scripture. Any other organization simply is not the church that God intended. And so we have that idea going forward. We are taking a test, so to speak, and we are looking at marks of Christianity, marks of this church, the things that we learn about in Scripture about this church, and we're comparing that to what we believe and what we maybe have believed for some time, maybe all of our lives. And we're making sure that these marks are the same marks of the church that we read about in Scripture. The things that we believe and practice, we are making sure that they coincide with the Scriptures. We have so far talked about the founder, the foundation, the origin of the church. We have talked about its designations, and we are currently studying its membership and what is required for one to be a member of this church. Last week, we noticed the importance of hearing the gospel, hearing the Word of God, and heeding the Word of God, not the Word of man, but what the Word of God actually says. The importance of believing the gospel. We must hear the gospel, but we also must believe the gospel. And then we also notice the importance of repentance, changing our lives, turning away from sin, and making sure that we are walking in the ways of Christ. And the importance of confessing Christ. There are some that teach the importance of confession of your sins, and that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what we teach in regard to confession. But the confession that you must make is that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did so in Acts chapter 8. And we'll look at that again in a moment. And we have come to the point now where we are ready to discuss baptism, the importance of baptism. And this is one that is of great importance because I would dare say that most denominations throughout the world do not teach essential baptism, that baptism is essential for salvation. And what I want you to understand today is that the Bible teaches that it is very important, and not just important, but it is essential for salvation. And again, we're just looking at the Scriptures. We're looking at what the Bible says and making sure that we believe according to the Scriptures. That is the name of this program. And so far I've found many various ways in which to use this phrasing. But it's very important that we do things according to the Scriptures. And so that is our endeavor for today, to continue this study. And before we get into our lesson for today, if you would bow with me in a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for the blessing of being able to study your word, to be able to do this together by way of internet and through the Gospel Radio Network. And we thank you for all those involved with it and for the work that is being done. And we pray that you would continue to bless them and bless this avenue to your glory. We are thankful, Father, that you've given us your word and the ability to understand what it says. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless us in that understanding. Help us to be the Christians that you would have us to be. Help us to recognize your authority and only your authority. Not the authority of men, but your authority over us through your scriptures, through your word. We pray, Father, that you would not just give us the understanding, but the open heart to be able to receive what you have taught in your word, and help us to do those things that are necessary for us to be right with you. We are thankful for your Son. We're thankful for his sacrifice for our sins and for all that he means to us. And it is through Jesus that we humbly pray to you. Amen. All right, as we get into our lesson for today, again, so far what we have talked about in regard to the membership of this church that we read of in scriptures, we have understood the importance of hearing the gospel, the importance of believing the gospel, the importance of repenting, turning away from our sins. As Peter said in Acts chapter 2, it is necessary for us to repent. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what he told the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And that is what he's telling us today is also necessary for our salvation. The Ethiopian eunuch was told to confess his faith. Whenever Philip was studying with him, he came to a point where he saw water and he said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And he did confess his faith in Christ, that he believed him to be the Son of God. And that is the same confession that we make, that we ask of anyone who wishes to be baptized. But let's look at baptism. Let's spend some time on baptism, and maybe we don't finish this lesson today, and that's okay. But let's look a little closer at what baptism is. And before you count me out and say, "Well, I don't believe that," again, let's look at the scriptures. Let's look at what the Bible actually says about baptism and why it is essential for our salvation. In Romans chapter 6, let's begin our study here. I believe last week we began in Romans chapter 10. But let's back up to Romans chapter 10 of Paul. And Paul is writing this letter to the Romans. And he is telling them here of baptism and what baptism really is. And so he is counteracting a belief in many that sin leads to grace, that more sin would lead to more grace. And he kind of is counteracting that as we come into chapter 6. Let's back up to chapter 5. Let's look at verse 20 and read into chapter 6 and verse 1. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that is sin reigned in death. Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And in verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We have to turn away from sin. And it requires repentance. It requires a change of heart, a change of life. "Or do you not know," verse 3, "that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Baptism is a burial. As we learn from verse 4 of chapter 6, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We are buried with Christ in baptism. So it's very symbolic, and it's not just symbolic, but it's what we do to come into doing the same things that Jesus did. When he died on the cross,
he died. And we too have to die in order to obey. We have to die to our sins. And that's what repentance is really all about. It is us dying to sin. As Jesus died on the cross, we experience a death also in dying to sin. That is part of our obedience. But it's not just the dying that is important. We also must be buried. Just as you would think of someone being buried who has died, we look at someone who is being buried as being completely covered in the ground. That's burial, or even covered in a tomb, but completely covered. And that's going to come into play in a moment. I want you to keep that in mind. But as a person is buried, and especially as Jesus was buried, so we also must be buried. Except our burial is not in dirt, and it's not in a tomb. But the burial that we must experience, must emulate, is a burial in water. And so Paul again says here in Romans chapter 6, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism is where we are buried with Christ. We died to sin. We are buried with Christ, but as Jesus was resurrected from the dead, so we are resurrected. When we come up out of that water, we are resurrected from a baptismal grave, a watery grave. And we are resurrected to walk in the newness of life, as Paul states here in verse 4 of Romans 6. So baptism is a burial, and this is not the only place in which this burial is taught. I want you to turn with me also to the book of Colossians. And let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. These are also the writings of Paul. And in Colossians chapter 2, let's read together verses 11. We'll go 11 and 12 at least. Starting with verse 11, Colossians 2. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead.
You're hearing me very well, so you try again. Let's see where we were. Colossians chapter 2, and verses 11 and 12. In him you also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead.
Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 11.
Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. As we look at Colossians chapter 2, we again see baptism as a burial. We are buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him. So we are baptized with Christ and also resurrected with Christ as well. And it does appear that we're back online. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but let's try to finish up our lesson for today. All right, so we see baptism as a burial, as according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, and also Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, I want you to again remember, and just looking at this from a logical standpoint, as I might try to look at it just personally, whenever we look at baptism as a burial, we recognize a burial being complete burial, just as we would bury a body. It would be completely buried, and it makes perfect sense that if we are going to be buried in baptism, does it not make sense that it would be a complete burial? Baptism in water, it's not a sprinkling, it's not a pouring on of water that we might hear of or even see as practiced by denominations. They do this out of convenience, maybe, but it's not according to the authority of the scriptures. Baptism is a burial. And in that sense, we must be completely buried in water. That is what baptism is about. And so we have this thought, this burial in water. Let's continue the thought of in water into Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, if you will, look at me here again. We looked at this last week with the Ethiopian eunuch. And from him, we recognize the importance of confessing faith in Christ. He said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said in verse 37, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now let's look a little bit further here in the next couple of verses. Let's look at verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Whenever they came to water, he saw that there was water. It was enough water that they went down into the water, and they had to come up out of the water. Baptism is burial in water. And as we look at the eunuch, we see that he was baptized in water. Let's turn over a couple of chapters to Acts chapter 10, and let's look at verses 47 and 48. Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48. In regard to the conversion of Cornelius and his household, Peter said in verse 47, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So Peter, he mentions here again that baptism requires water. Can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized, or should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit? They should be baptized, and they were baptized. They were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they were. Their conversion culminated in baptism. Why? What purpose? For the remission of their sin. Just as Peter had commanded the Jews on the day of Pentecost, so the Gentiles were also commanded. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness, for the removal of your sins. And upon being baptized, they came in contact with the blood of Christ, which forgave them of their sins, which took away their sins. And that is what we must do today. We must be baptized. We must hear the gospel. We must believe the gospel. We must repent. We must confess our faith in Christ. And we must be baptized for the remission of sins. There is no other way into Christ except through the ways of the Scriptures, and that includes baptism. Next week, we'll continue our study of baptism and its importance and what it really means. And I pray that you would join us next Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. as we continue this study. And I do pray that you are part of the Church of the Bible. But if you are not, if anything that is said on this program resonates with you, if there's anything that you have questions about, please, again, feel free to contact us. Again, you can go to our website, www.marshillcoc.org, and I would certainly encourage you to do so. We would love to hear from you. We would love to have the opportunity to answer any questions that you might have. And I do thank you for being with me today, and I hope that you'll be back with me next week, next Tuesday at 11 a.m. as we study another portion of God's Word together. And until we meet again, may God continue to bless you.